Okay. Are you recording now?
I am now recording, and I'm asking
Hats!
I'm asking you to back up a second and
okay.
tell me if that man's name was in fact Jim Chuck Spanner.
That man's name was in fact Jim Chuck Spanner.
Excellent. Tim and Nighty, Kiss and Nighty, Mark and Nighty. And we say hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Nick.
I'm Ryan.
And welcome to the Leak Coosta Deals podcast, weekly episode for the week of February 27th. Now I am coughing, and I
And this is the part where I become acutely aware that I still haven't sent you last week's recording, but,
That is true. But now is the part where I go into, hey, Genericon.
Yeah.
I just visited. In fact, I kind of just got done posting the podcast for Genericon weekend, but
Woo!
Here we are.
Nick, our reporter in the field, is bringing us a live report from his room after Genericon.
Right. Is there anything you would like to know before I begin rambling?
Because
that is my most comfortable way of not transposing, not transgressing, of transferring information.
Transgression. Okay. Did you happen to see the Reverse Thieves dudes?
I did
Dude
not.
Dude and lady? They're pretty cool.
Well, they were at one of the podcasts I was at, I believe. They did
podcast? I think they were on the How to Run a Podcast panel with Daryl, if you saw that.
Here's my question, which I will ask you to clarify for me. Reverse Thieves is the Speakeasy podcast, correct?
Yes.
Okay, then I saw them, but they were at a panel I was attending. They were not hosting the panel I was attending.
They have this one about this article about the pose. You may find this article about the pose interesting, both as an artist and as a connoisseur of breastises.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what I wanted to know about Genericon. So now you can feel free to ramble.
Okay.
Hmm.
Well, I almost didn't go, though it is here, and that is because I am now pretty much fully convinced that if I were ever to attend a cosplay contest, that is would cause me to snap and begin shooting.
Maybe, yeah. Like there. To be fair, I know some cosplayers, and there are sane ones. There are rational, good people who cosplay.
That's right. In fact, Caitlin and Paul and Rachel.
Yeah, I hear you guys
a
did a Team Rocket.
That's right, and I have a picture of it, which I should post at some point.
Yeah. They can go in the show notes as an example. But then there's also crazy cosplayers.
Yeah. One group apparently did a Gyarados cosplay. They did
really?
They did Gyarados as like a Chinese dragon kind of costume.
Gyarados cosplayer, did they do it like the Chinese festival dragon thing? You said it was a group doing a Gyarados cosplay.
I didn't see their actual sort of Gyarados performance, but I did see a Gyarados costume on the floor, and then later on, I saw a giant sign where the Gyarados costume had been that says, if you were part of the Gyarados group, please come to Ops. We have confiscated your costume.
Oh, that's terrible.
Because they did just kind of leave it in the middle of the floor. And
I say that's terrible, but like they did leave their tag in the middle of the floor, from what I hear.
It's true. As a very broad review of Genericon, I'd like to say that it's a bit... it seemed very small this year. And like the more years I go to it, the more smaller it seems. But... It really felt like there was not... I was very quickly able to cover all of the non-panel content.
Mm.
I mean, 4 rooms of vendors and 4 rooms of artists. And the artist rooms
four
are smaller
rooms
than they
of
were
vendors.
Last year.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, last year I remember there was like 2 artist room, 2 vendor room. Did they like relocate them to smaller areas?
No, the vendors rooms were in the same spot. But it's... You know how it's like 2 upstairs, 2 downstairs... Mm-hmm. So the vendors were in the same place, but it felt like there were even less vendors. Like, each vendor room had more space for moving around.
Ooh, you don't want that.
No, you don't want that. but it was, I don't know, how would I put it? I noticed, and, you know, maybe I'm just, you know, not used to a con atmosphere, and I'm more acutely sensitive to my own aggravation from it, but it felt like everyone there, like there was a ratio of attendees, and it was about, like, 75% over-squee cosplayers, possibly closer to 90%.
Over-squee?
There were what?
Way more cosplayers this year than last year. I was having a conversation with that about someone.
Yeah. The point is there were tons of...
What was the adjective you just used?
Overly squee? Well, because, like, that is sort
I think
of...
that says about... that. I think that covers it. I just needed confirmation.
Because it's like, you know, there's...
On the words.
There's sane people who are in costume.
Yes.
And then there are cosplayers. And that is a... It was definitely more of the latter group, because there were people with, like, good costumes who were acting crazy, and there were people with poor costumes also acting crazy. But, you know, still a nice spectrum of costumes, I suppose. Most of them I didn't recognize. There was a red mage. He had a pixelated sword. That was pretty cool.
Oh, cool. I hear as far as guests, like, they kind of, like, really pulled in some cool dudes, like... A lot of podcasting dudes, Reverse Thieves, AWO, Daryl was there. Ed Chavez, and he's like, you know, he's professional. He's with Vertical.
Yeah. That definitely was true. I actually only attended two things in my time there.
Let me just also interject Ninja Consultants, too, because they're pretty cool.
Yes. Well,
even if Aaron is a hipster.
I'm about to get to this, because...
Oh, okay.
The first thing I did, the thing that actually convinced me that I should go to the con, was on 6 o'clock on Saturday night, they showed Galaxy Quest.
Okay.
And that got me in the door, you know?
That's strange, but okay. That's like, I was watching Day 9 the other day.
It doesn't have any weak points!
I was watching Day 9 the other day, and he was, like, playing music for people, and all the people in the chat were like, play Queen! Play Venetian Snares! Play this! Play Queen! Play Queen! And I was just like, you guys can just... You can just listen to Queen if you want. Like, you could have just watched Galaxy Quest if you want.
Yeah, you know, there is that, but it is... You are not going... In these situations, you are not going for the movie, you're not going for the music, you are going for the group atmosphere.
You're going to be around a bunch of people who want to watch Galaxy Quest at a convention.
Right. If I had not been tired, I would have gone to the 2 a.m. Ninja Scroll showing. Yeah, I know, right?
That could be dangerous.
Dangerous, but... Also possible. I would go to find out. I would brave the dark, cold unknown of Ninja Scroll public showings. What was I saying?
Don't get me wrong. I like Ninja Scroll. There's a fair bit of rape in that movie.
Oh, yes. There's also some rock people and...
And bee people.
And also
and
Jubei!
And gunpowder people.
There's tons of Jubei!
There's also loads of Jubei.
Cheap-ass
blind
match.
Guy in the fight in the bamboo forest. That was really cool.
Oh, man, yeah. So yeah, Galaxy Quest got me in the door.
Okay.
And then the only other... and that was like the first night, because that happened, and then by the time I got out of that, everybody was like, we're hungry, and we don't know how to make decisions on our own, so I walked to the pizza place, and then everybody got pizza.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
good call.
It's what I'm here for. And then...
You're like the coin.
Yeah. I suppose I am, except I'm like a hungry coin. Hungry.
I've discovered that the coin exists so that you can find out what you say, like, when it's flipping, and you say to yourself, oh, I hope it's not, suddenly you know what you want.
That is...
It's amazing.
It's... I love that. It's that realization. It's like when you ask the question, it's because you were either asking for a yes or a no answer to it, and really...
So you could agree or disagree with it.
That's right. It's like... So that was that, and that was Saturday. Enthralling, I know.
We watched a movie, and then we ate pizza.
Yep. Well, okay, no, we ate a pizza and a calzone and 20 wings, and they were gone. They were demolished. And then we got ice cream. Sunday. Today was Sunday.
Yes.
Today was Sunday, and I checked out all the vendors' rooms. And like I said, there wasn't much. Oh, but I did...
But I hear you got the first disc of Legend of Black
Heaven.
Heaven.
Yes, I did. They had two discs that were not congruent in a row, consecutive. So it was like the first disc had like 1 through 4, the other one had like 8 through 10.
Oh, okay. I might have
the one in
the
between.
One that's after that one.
Okay.
If I think I have like the end of the series.
Well, anyway, so now we have the first and the end of the series, so that could be cool.
Oh my!
Later, I also picked up, much like last year, I picked up two decks from the Universal Fighting System card game.
Okay.
So now I have an evil.
I had forgotten about that. We should play more of that sometime.
We should play, because I was looking at the rules again, and I played the you know how they had it split where it's like here is like the core mechanic version of the game where it's just
and then there's
and
like
block.
The part with the elements and combos
and all of
stuff.
The all of the actions on the cards.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it, and I actually sort of read through the rules, and it's really not as bad as it seemed. It's just the rules are kind of badly written. I get a feeling if I could find a website where they are better laid out, and that would make the experience almost immediately going. But definitely we need to play with that, and now I have 4 characters to choose from.
Who we got?
Well, I have Hahamaru from the Sam Show. I have this character is named... Ukyo Tachibana, also from
Tachibana.
He's the blue-haired Ayajutsu guy. He's actually was my other favorite from Sam Show next to Hahamaru.
Oh yeah, that guy.
Terry Bogart, of course.
Terry Bogart
and Evil Ryu.
Evil Ryu.
Yeah, he had the Satsui no Hado.
Is normal Ryu also an option? No, only Evil Ryu.
I only have Evil Ryu, yes. they are separate decks.
He is known in Japan as Satsui no Hado ni Mezemeta Ryu. Ryu, oh has who has awakened to the surge of killing intent. Wow.
Yeah. So there's that, and I kept looking at it, and I was like, this game seemed like it would be really good, so I might as well buy 2 more decks.
Shit, what was the one? The one with the painter.
Yomi.
Yomi.
I realized, and I came to the very clear conclusion, that if I get it now, I will not have
You'll just be sitting on it for
I'll be sitting
for
on it
until
I come home. So yeah. I might as well, you know, save some money now, see what emergencies might come up, and then when I get home, just be like, alright, first thing, find Yomi, let's do it.
Okay.
I did see one of the other vendors had Puzzle Strike.
Ooh.
Which was the board game version of Puzzle Fighter. That is played much like Dominion. And I was looking at that, and I put it back down, because he was asking 60, and I believe the website price might be 30 or 40.
Mm-hmm.
So I put that back down, but I was looking at it again, and I still like Dominion and Puzzle Fighter. Those are 2 good games.
Yeah, I'm interested in that, too.
So, you know, when I get back, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm looking around at the stuff that is collected around me. But yeah, that was vendors' rooms. Artist room, nothing really interesting. Some of the people we knew from last year were there. There were some
engineer
other people.
Back again.
She held a panel this time, actually.
Really?
Which I did not attend.
I don't know why. She was like one of the only people I remember from last time. What about those guys next to us with the really high quality prints and those pins?
They were there.
Okay.
They
Good
had
to know.
About half the same merch. They had maybe half that I had not seen before. Not necessarily saying it is new. I have to assume it is, because, you know, artists take a certain pride in their work, being their creations and all.
Sure.
On a note, you remember how we keep saying we should go to Buffalo?
Nope.
Well,
I want to go to the city, check out Chinatown Fair sometime.
Well, it works like this. I can't find it now, but University of Buffalo has their own convention. Friend of a friend of a friend... we have ins with the Artist Alley coordinator now. And he was just like, how many tables do you want? And I said, 2. Where and when is it? but yeah, University of Buffalo, it's in April sometime.
Okay.
What's that?
I think it's the 18th. It's mid-April.
It could be like April 18th-ish?
No,
8th. 8th?
Yeah.
Okay. We're getting breaking news. It may actually be the 8th or 18th.
It's the 8th.
Sometime in April.
Okay, well, that's a couple... We still got March to go through, so, yeah.
I
can wrangle that.
So I don't know if we can manage that. I don't know how that works with my schedule, with classes and all, but it's a thing to look into. It's farther away, but it's another con. We got in. It might be bigger. It might be about the same. Either way, we'll be breaking out, you know? Spreading the brand.
Who is it? I feel like I know somebody in Buffalo.
Wings? Do you know Wings?
Where does Anders go to school?
Geneseo.
That's not in Buffalo.
Might be near Buffalo.
I feel like maybe it is. I don't know. I feel dumb right now. And if he hears this, he'll probably have words with me.
Oh, my.
So,
merch. I'm trying to think if there's any other cool merch. Well, I mean, merch is merch. There was a guy, he had a big bucket of dice with a bunch of cups in it. And it was the cups were labeled $10 to fill this cup with picked out dice, $7 to just scoop it up and take what you get. So I now have like another like 10 D20s.
God, did he like make those dice or something?
No, it was just a big old jumble.
Oh, okay.
I have like 10 D20s and another, you know, 5 D12s and one more D8.
Geneseo is about 2/3 of the distance from here to Buffalo.
It seems like that's the con equivalent of like getting a bunch of pies at ShopRite and then selling them at Applefest. Yeah, I got all these dice. You nerds will eat this shit up. Buy my dice.
I guess it probably is, but like around whatever. Here,
cup of dice.
Yeah, I mean, cup of dice. That's what you get. Like, that's what keeps saying in my mind. Like, there's this one. There's one vendor at Genericon. Every time I buy something from him, I swear, no matter what I pick up, he says, oh, yeah, you know, you're getting a really good deal on this because that's out of print now. You won't find it anywhere else. It's hard to find. But he said that when I picked up, like, Outlaw Star. He said it when I picked up Black Heaven. He said it when I picked up Tokyo Mew Mew. Maybe I didn't actually pick that up.
Those might all be true, though.
They could be, but either
Tokyo
I have...
Tokyo Mew Mew?
Never mind. I don't know. I'm just saying that when I pick stuff up, he says that. And, like... It may be true, but that is also, like, the only thing he says, so it's more like a twitch that he has as a businessman than
oh my.
Trying to reveal something in conversation. So that's just the feeling I get. And, you know, this was on Sunday, too. So the kid I was with, Adam Castle, he was hanging out with our group. He had went and bought the Traveler's Core rulebook on Saturday for $10. When we went back on Sunday to look at all the vendors, he went to the same table. The guy was like, hey, I'll sell you the rest of the Traveler's books for $10 for the rest of them. Yeah, so he got, you know, 4 books for $20.
Damn, Traveler is a decent thing.
And it's interesting because he said that the only reason he really wanted to play Traveler was because one of the bands that he really liked, their first two albums were based in the Traveler's universe.
What?
I forget which band he said they were. I will ask him at some point, but that also led to a number of discussions about the Megas and which Mega Man bosses have the bombingest stages.
Bomb Man, naturally.
It's Bomb Man, yeah. And I was all like, yo, dude, Elec Man. And I was like, yeah.
He's got like the Shocky Tower, right?
Don't.
Oh, you just mean the music.
Yeah.
That's not a Elec Man.
No, it's not, but it's also a good one.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I didn't really like the original for Quick Man, but I really liked what the Megas did with it.
Yeah. So, anyway, the only other thing I did on Sunday was I visited the panel. The only panel.
Just the one.
I'm not a good con goer. Let's not be unclear about these things.
Me neither. I like having a table.
Yeah, I am definitely more. I like being a table because I can sit there and I can just.
And
do
the
my
con
own thing.
Comes to you.
Yeah. So anyway, I went to the panel. The panel I went to was hosted by AWO, and it was called "What Happened to Podcasting."
What did happen to podcasting?
Well, that's what we came there to figure out, and. People aren't completely sure. Like, it kind of went weird. It was more like, basically what it turned into is what should happen to podcasting.
So what, was it just like, what happened to podcasting? Panel room 4, 3 p.m. You just show up and they're like, we don't know either.
We were talking about it, and basically what it came down to is like a pod fade happened. People who are strong are still pretty strong. The market, or like, the industry of podcasting has more turned into a spin-off business. Because what were we talking about? We're talking about, like, you know, AWO, Dave and Joel, they're doing their own thing. They're standing on their own. But a lot of podcasts who are maintaining are actually podcasts who are basically a spin-off of existing companies. So, like, Make Magazine, their very homebrew publication, they have a podcast. GiantBomb.com, they have the Giant Bomb cast. Even Collection DX is... or Destroy All Podcast DX is based off of Collection DX. So when you look at it that way, it's like, well, this is sort of changing the way people look at podcasts. It's like, well, we have this thing going. We could also make a podcast to try and juice money out of it. And also sort of... also saying that Americans don't really like talking anyway, because a lot of what is thought of as talking today is like talk radio, like NPR kind of stuff, and that can leave a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
I can agree with that.
Yeah. I definitely saw... I don't think I saw it as strongly as they were sort of saying it. This was also... It was nice, because it was a very, like... It was more like a discussion between the panelists and the panelees? That sounds like a horrible language to try and learn. But it was... there was a lot of back and forth. People were telling about... Because although AWO was hosting, Ninja Consultants... And those guys from the Speakeasy podcast, Reverse Thieves, they were in the audience. And it was funny because one of the first things they asked was like, okay, raise your hand if you don't host a podcast. And AWO had their hands down, Reverse Thieves and Ninja Consultants, and I had my hands down.
And that was and I imagine there was just like a who moment?
Yeah, pretty much.
And you were just like, yeah, I think we got, like, an average of 7. It might be all the hosts.
I know, well, see, because, like, one of the things they said is, like, it's like, if you were at the How to Start a Podcast panel, you know it's not that hard. You can go from, like, 0 to 1,000 listeners in 5 days like we did, and I just went... And then,
I don't know, we're like S-words. We're just doing this because it's fun to get together, you know? It's something that we can do to keep touch with each other. Except the S-words has an audience.
don't worry, we're working on that. Because first of all, they actually had everybody pin their own podcast. And everybody is, they were like, let's also, you know, share about our podcasters in the audience. And everyone looked at me, with just that look on their faces like, who are you?
Well, yeah, because they were like, okay, we got ninjas, we got AWO, we got those guys. Who? Tall guy with the hair. Who are you?
And I was like, I'm that guy who challenged AWO to a podcast fist fight. And they were like, what? And I was like, that means you forfeit.
All right. Well, I guess we can put that down on the card.
It's like a little check mark for a win. Yep. Well, I don't know how it counts.
We're on the board. We made it.
There is
finally made it.
There's a picture proving a cross counter, so I'm still not... I think that might be a tie.
It still looks like a slappy fight.
Okay, so it's a weak cross counter, but that's because he had a flight to catch.
Let me see that again. I'm looking up that picture right now, because I thought it looked like he was pulling out the eagle claw on you. It's his special technique.
Yeah, see, clearly.
You can find photographic evidence of the eagle claw if you'd like. For some reason, your particular TwitPic page always... doesn't want to load for me, so I'm not looking at that picture right now.
Okay.
Which is probably okay, because that makes for some shit fucking airtime quality talk.
Media,
words.
Radio, podcast. So, what came out of that panel was a couple of interesting things. Talking about how to monetize. Noah brought up the idea of the stripper model.
Oh-ho.
The stripper, sort of like the stripper economy model. This being that you want the strippers or the podcasters have to sort of create this feeling that there's a better connection between the viewers and the hosts. This idea of like, well, you know, if you want a better show out of me, you should buy me a necklace, you know, something like that. Except, you know, necklace just becomes like, you know, $5, $10, $50 donations, whatever. Or even instead of monetary, be like, hey, if anybody out there has like a microphone that they want to donate to us or donate the amount for a microphone, then you're getting something out of the show. At which point I said, well, as you go higher and higher in monetary amount up to equipment and stuff like that, that kind of requires more and more effort on the part of the listeners. Whereas something like Mabimbam, they just ask you to send in questions. They ask you to send in text. You can go to their webpage, and there is a box. You can put in whatever you want, hit send. And that is, like, such a low barrier to participation.
And you've contributed to them. Like, if you've got a good question, you created new content for them.
Yeah, and there's a very, like, a very immediate feedback, because it is on the show. Like, even if you have, like, the minimal participation in listening, you have now seen the repercussions of what you've done. And that is something that can get people into it. And, you know, Mabimbam took off.
They were, like, huge out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
41.
They're at 41 right now? Breaking news, they only have 41 episodes. What the hell? But yeah, talking about that, talking about...
Are they weekly or bi-weekly? I forget.
They're weekly.
Okay.
But that led to, talking about equipment led to talking about, sort of recording problems and ideas, and I actually brought up the story of one time when we were podcasting about how you do not know how fidgety you are, and how I had to edit out 20 minutes of pen clicking, followed by 20 minutes of playing with the chain, followed by another 10 minutes of pen clicking.
I've gotten better at that.
You have. Still, it evoked laughter, so it was worth telling.
I am glad that I could amuse a room full of strangers for you.
Yep, hey, strangers and podcasters alike. Yeah.
Potential listeners.
Yeah, that was the other thing. AWO, and they said that they will... They said that they have tried really hard to sell out in their time in podcasting. And like,
I'll believe that.
A number of people have actually come to them being like, you know, we'll give you some amount of money if you play our promo or say... you like our products or whatever. And that kind of all fell through because they never got the money and people never followed through. Like, there was just an offer. They accepted every offer and most of them just fell through. Which, again, goes back to the sort of, like, the industry views on podcasting about, like, well, it's kind of just a side thing, isn't it? It's not a real meat and potatoes kind of outlet.
Yeah, I mean, that's not real. I mean, that's on the internet.
Yeah. Also, the idea of niche... podcasting, because AWO says that they are at about 2,000 listeners right now, and they have been there for a couple of years, just because they are an anime podcast, and how many, you know, podcasts...
Yeah, I would have thought more, actually. Anime.
So would I, but apparently that's where it is. And of course, everybody in the room mentioned Dave and Joel, which is kind of amazing. So they were talking about that, and that's sort of another way of looking at it. Like, well, if you're a podcast, you're going to get niche.
Niche, yeah.
And then they were talking about, like, if you look at someone like Geek Nights is actually looking less at the anime and actually branching out into their other categories, especially the video games and tech, because they just have a broader overall audience. So there's those things to look about. But back to the point about, they said they would take any offer, and they also said that they don't turn down anyone's request to play their promo on their show. So,
yes. We might be able to dust off the old Symphony of the Night one.
I know. Or, I want to make a new one, not because we need a new one, but just because I like making those.
Yeah, could probably use a new one.
I like radio shows. Andrew has really been saying that he wants to do something creative, and I keep telling him, listen, you write stuff, let's just adapt it to a radio show.
We got the voices.
We got tons of voices. Either that, or just... I'm also thinking maybe I should just go to Dave and be like, Dave... what can I make for you that will make you play our promo? I will do anything you want. I know you don't like to edit radio shows.
Who just record them,
I'll piece it together.
Who was it that played our Symphony one? I thought someone did.
Collection DX.
Oh, right. Okay.
And they were really kind to us at the beginning, I feel. I had talked with Jeremy a bit. We had some back and forth on the Fast Karate forums about, like, technique and content and arguing styles.
Ooh.
And then that never came through. I just kind of faded away. I've actually kind of listened to them less and less as time goes on. Kind of because, at first it was because they had this weird podcasting style where they could make like normal, full, thought out kind of arguments and like well observant, but then they would just forget about doing that and start cursing and talking about whatever.
That's entirely different from what we do here.
Oh, yes, no, we don't We don't use foul language. Yes. Fucking A.
I especially do not use foul language. Not constantly.
But, yeah, they were cool guys. They were also mentioned by numerous people at the panel. Oh, no. And, that's...
Oh, no!
That's pretty much all there was about it. There were cool people there. There was some good discussion. I was even able to pipe up amongst the quote-unquote big-name podcasters. I say quote-unquote
giants in the field.
Yeah, but it's like a field of... it's like a ping-pong table rather than like a baseball diamond or something.
Nah, man, this is the new media.
No, it's not. Oh, the phone's ringing. You should take care of that. Yeah, must excuse us. The phone ringing. That means there's a calzone.
Oh, okay. A calzone.
Yes.
I thought you said cowzone.
Cowzone.
And there is not one of those, I'll have you know.
No, there is no cowzone nor is either.
Nor is there a goat level. Unfortunately, because goats are neat. They have those strange pupils.
That was, did I tell you about the Magic Draft Tournament I was in the other week?
No.
Then, let's bring this to... Because that's really all I have to say about Genericon. Like, there was a cool panel where I got to talk to some podcasters and hear stories and talk about stuff.
Well, that's good. That's heartwarming.
Yeah. So that was cool. Hopefully, it sort of reinvigorated me a bit. I mean, I'm looking at the waveform. They are bigger than they were the last 2 weeks.
I'm looking at my waveform, and it is, like, splotchy, but maybe if I zoom in a little, it will look better. Hold on. Yeah, there we go. That's a wave.
Okay.
What?
but there's that, and, again, I don't know if it's specifically Genericon, or if this is just something about all conventions, but in my dreams, other conventions are not quite this bad.
Oh my. Harsh.
Well, it's full of cosplayers, and it's full of that, like...
You hate on cosplayers. We're gonna lose our cosplaying listener.
If you're a cosplayer, that's fine, as long as you're not dumb. Because there are people who just get, like, way too excited and don't care about... Like, okay, and maybe it's also because, like, you know, because it's a weekend and it is on the college campus, a lot of doors are locked and only certain ones are open for access. But, you know, you think you see somebody knocking, they have the badge on, and you're like, oh, they're with the con, I'll let them in. No, nobody ever sit around. You knock on a door, you do nothing, people are just in their own little world. They don't, like they're doing their thing, they're showing that they're a fan, and yet they don't seem to give a crap about you. Maybe I just ran into the bad ones, but that is a feeling I came away with. That is an observation I was kind of forced to make.
You didn't feel a sense of community?
No, I felt a sense of every... Which is funny, because even though people didn't really, like, seem to deal with each other, people, you know, were all there for a common cause. It was very sort of counterintuitive. And, you know, because I don't know, man. It's just,
like... You might not have been noticed because you weren't wearing cat ears. Next time, just go in a skirt. Just man up and wear a skirt.
This kid I work with, Leslie... He was on the con staff. He was the artist alley coordinator. And he showed up to work on Friday in his costume.
What was his costume?
A Japanese schoolgirl with pink hair.
Oh.
Like flaming pink hair.
I remember the first time we were... The first year we attended, there was a male Alice. You know, it was all her dear precious thing because, you know, it was that time.
I saw him.
Was he also the Yuko from last year?
No, I believe he's been Alice all 3 years in a row.
Oh, okay. A devotion.
Know what that says about him. Yeah, it says he's only got enough money for one costume, something like that.
He only needs one costume, man.
So, I mean, yeah, that was an Aircon. It's still a nice little con. I'm considering making some observations to the con people, but I wasn't even there the whole time. I wasn't in on the deal, so I really have no right to do that. But, This is my experience. If you'd like somebody else's experience, I know some other people. I could get them in on it. Give it a second look, second opinion, trauma team, doctor.
Doctor.
But yeah, so, moving on from Genericon, unless you have any other questions.
No, not really.
Moving on. Last weekend, I was in a Magic the Gathering draft tournament. The first one I'd ever been in.
Really?
Yeah. And I gotta tell you, it was invigorating.
Yeah, it's a good scene because, like, you know, it's actually, it leverages the whole collectible card game thing in an interesting way. It makes for a very fun experience.
It does. Like, it really
and
does.
And, like, usually, like, I'm at a point in my life where I'm like, I don't need that bullshit. Like, I don't want to either just, you know, buy cases of cards at a time or, like, you know, haggle for the one card that I need to make my deck. Like, I don't want to have to do that. But the drafting thing is exciting to me. Like, if I was going to play Magic these days, I would want to just go draft.
Yeah. Well, because it's an interesting setup. It wasn't at a card shop. It was just Will and Lincoln and Steve, since they all live together, they'll just chip in for a box, or somebody will put up the money for a box, and then if they can get eight people to pay $10 each, then that covers the cost of the box. And they just run it out of their house. I mean, we just were doing it in their dining room.
Damn, and, you know, cool.
There were eight of us there. There were supposed to be about 10 or 12, but a couple of people didn't show up, but that was fine. Mm-hmm. And, like, because that's... I have the same thing. Because I look at Magic, and I'm like, oh, this CCG stuff is bullshit. They're trying to get money out of you. They keep having to, you know, create new things in the new sets that will either conflict or override stuff from the old sets. What the fuck is a poison counter?
You know, we have this sliding scale of cards that can be used in tournaments right now.
Yeah,
is it first? Is it second? Is it extended? I don't know.
Like, and all that stuff really put me off it, because that would basically mean that if I try to take my deck and play it against your deck, but you've been keeping up with it, and I still have all of my decks from before they put the card set icon on the cards, which I do have a bunch of those, as it turns out. Like, it doesn't really coalesce. There's a little bit of a conflict there.
Yeah.
But, like, but in the draft that we did, and in the context of a draft, it makes perfect sense. Because you have a box, all the cards in the box are from the same set, and the sets have themes to them. Like, apparently they played an Unhinged draft tournament.
Oh, God.
And I don't know too much about that, but Evan made a deck based
Unhinged
around
Unhinged is the
wrestling.
Parody set?
Yeah.
Unhinged is a great set. It's all these batshit insane things.
I would like to see more about that set, just because it sounds like there are interesting cards in there. Like arm wrestling, I mean. Also about a player has to discard his hand. Not his hand of cards, but he has to take his left or right hand and put it behind his back while that card is in play.
Huh.
And Will had gotten, like, three of those cards in his deck, which means people were trying to play with their nose.
Awesome. Yeah, I forget if it's Unhinged or Unglued, but one of them, it was a parody set that they made some years back, and then there was the other one later on that also, that like, they just, yeah, they just put in, like, shenanigan mechanics like that.
Yeah. It's
wonderful.
Pretty sure that's exactly
wonderful?
What Unhinged is. But even, like that's a cool thing on its own for them to do to break up the trading card game scene. But just, like, because this one was a heavy emphasis on landfall, and this idea of just lands being used as more than just resources, and, like, what do they do, and how can their presence affect the game.
Okay.
And so there's this, first of all of that collected thing, who's got what sets and all that, that just goes away. Everybody is starting from scratch, and it basically feels like you're playing, like, an isolated game, almost. Because it's like, here are these cards from these sets, they have been designed to work together, they have been designed to fight against themselves, and this is all we are limited to. And it works. And then there's the whole, there's that. Okay.
And then there's the fact that you're all working from just zero, like, you're not net decking, you're just adapting to what you're drawing, which is great.
It was very interesting, because everybody gets the, like, there will be three rounds of boosters, because that's just how it worked out. So, for the first set of boosters that gets opened, people are just kind of pulling cards, and it's kind of random. People are just looking around being like, oh, here's a new thing, here's this, I wonder what else this will be good with. But by the time the second set of boosters gets opened and passed around, you start noticing that certain color cards are disappearing very quickly. Because people are starting to figure out what they're getting. Like, I know I was taking pretty much every white card and artifact that I saw, and equipment.
And that was part of the weird part about it, too, because it wasn't just me. We were talking about it while we were doing, because, you know, cause, and that's the cool part, because we weren't at a car circus. This wasn't really a public event. It was all friends. We were talking with each other. We were saying stuff. We were even saying some of the things that, like, oh, I'm going to take this one out of this pack, because, you know, it's friendly. We're not hardcore into it. I came second to last in the tournament, and I didn't really feel bad about it.
And you haven't played Magic in years.
I know. But you start to notice these things happening, and you're like, oh, so I guess I can look forward to one of these decks. But at the same time, you don't. Because, you know, a deck is 40 cards, but everybody's coming out of this with, like 40, 60 cards. So even though you see kind of what they're going for, that may not be what their deck ends up being.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of the cards that I got that I really liked did not end up in my deck. Because, and that was part of me, that's because, you know, I had not done this before, so I was still in that idea of, like, well, I'm here, there's a bunch of boosters, I know what decks I have, what cards would be good in those decks? And I started pulling under that mindset, which still kind of worked, because, you know, first, second round, I was mostly doing that. But then by the time second round got there, I was like, well, I'm also getting these cards. So I started building one, and, like there was a very, you know, easy transition to that draft mindset about just picking out cards that would be good today, that would be good now. Which... clearly, my combinations worked. Like, I felt I got a pretty good deck out of it. My deck was not good as everyone else's deck, because... and I think that's because I'm not, you know... that's more about I do not know what sort of the prevailing tactics in Magic are. It seems to be create token creatures, which then you devour. Although that may have been, like, four sets ago. But it's all about...
A while back, it was squirrels.
I remember squirrels. But, like...
there was the squirrels phase, and then there was a really heavy elf phase.
But, like, I know I had some issues, because my plan is always about the same, which is get some big guys out and then have them wreck everything.
Timmy.
So that's why I was going with... I took, like, all of the equipment that I came across, and I took some decent monsters. I took some... they have this ally thing going on now, which is...
ally?
More about, like... it's like,
that's not like banding, is it?
No, it's kind of like, you remember how the Kavus worked? Where, like, when this Kavu comes into play, all the other Kavus get whatever? Mm-hmm. It's basically the same thing, except it's, closer to, it's with more, like, military soldier-type cards rather than with monster-type cards. Not that it really makes much difference aside from the picture on it and the color on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were working with that. I got a bunch of those. But my favorite card that I pulled just for the deck was I got a Pillarfield Ox. And he is like a 2/4 for 3 with no special abilities. But I was happy because in one of the games I got him out and I got him equipped with a trusty machete, an adventuring gear, and a silk spider net.
On your ox.
On my ox.
Awesome.
It was so great. He was like an 8/3.
An ox.
On an ox, yes.
With a machete and adventuring gear.
Again, I do not play games to be efficient and win. I play games to do something ridiculous. Seems to be a trend in every game I play these days. But, so there was that. And, you know, and once you build your deck, well, then it turns into a whole bunch of people playing Magic, and I was definitely a bit lost at that part. But, like, you get enough cards. You get enough cards to make a deck, plus almost to make a whole nother deck. And that in itself is really cool. Because, you know... for $10, and you're getting 3 boosters out of that, I don't know what the going rate is, but that sounds all right to me. You're not getting 3 boosters. You're getting a lot of cards, is the point.
Yeah.
Plus, everybody got an extra booster pack just for playing. That was, like, a prize. And then it was, like, 2 packs for second and third, and 3 packs for first.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, you get a lot of cards out of that, especially if you win. Which that's better, because I always didn't like the idea of booster packs... just because, like, well, I play with white-black decks, so when I open a pack and there's, you know, 2 black cards and 1 white card, and then 8 cards I will never fucking use, you know, I feel gypped. Like, even, no matter what the price is, even if it's rational, I feel pretty gypped, because I'm getting even less than that. I did pull a foil mythic card.
Whoa!
It was the...
wait, mythic? That's like the double rare, right?
Maybe it wasn't mythic. Maybe it was just rare. All I know is that it was shiny, and it was the card that says, if this card is in play, and it is your upkeep, and you have more than 40 life, you win. So I came home, and I built a deck around that. Like, that was the other thing. It got me back into this idea of deck building, like not just playing, but like, and that's really what the game is about. Like what that system is about. It's about, you know, getting stuff and putting it together. And I definitely like the idea of like the Yomi. Like I'm still really interested in that game because it's this idea of like these decks are already established. It is about playing. It is about who you are playing with. It is about learning tactics and partly about luck and about. Like, it is about the gameplay itself, which is fun. And the Magic gameplay is pretty fun, but it's... A lot of times, it is about, you know, who is lucky, who gets Mana Screw, who gets, I just lost my train of thought because there's a Calzone sitting next to me. But,
No, there is no Calzone. There is no such fucking thing as a time boat, Nick.
What about a time shed?
What you do is you get a grandfather clock. Continue. Sorry.
Yeah, there is. I'm trying. Okay, now I got to go back a step.
Mana Screw.
Magic games. You can find you can see the conclusion very early on in most cases, because either a couple of cards come out that you have no way to counter. But, believing in the heart of the cards doesn't mean shit in Magic, I find. And yet, some people, I don't know if they're misunderstanding it or if they have an understanding that it's simply different but valid from my point of view. Mm-hmm. But I was playing one of the games I played when we finished up. My opponent was like, yeah, I guess that was all right. I mean, I lost, but I think that's because I need to go and take 2 mana cards out of my deck of 40 cards. I cannot believe that makes a big difference.
Oh, but it does, dude. The odds.
It doesn't make sense that it should, but it does.
But,
I've had experience with,
Well, I mean, odds makes... But does it really? Because if you take 2 cards out, how many games are you going to play to get a sample set to, do, scientific testing to see how much of a change that makes before you mix it again?
Yeah, you play a couple games with it,
but, I mean, when we're talking about probability over a sample set of, 40 cards, you need, 40, 50, 60 games to find out what the effect actually is. It's about averages. Averages is what matters, and that's why probability is bullshit, and I hate it.
I'm saying it happens.
Okay, but I'm saying, in reality, it doesn't matter.
I know.
Okay.
I'm saying I agree with that, I'm just saying it still happens whether you think it's right or not.
But it's not right. Anyway.
It might just be more about the feel of it, I messed up. I better manipulate my deck to give myself more of a semblance of control.
I guess it's...
That might be a cynical view, but that's... I don't know.
It's cynical, but it's probably just as valid as whatever I just spouted. So,
Rightly so.
What? Playing the game, there are better games to play. But when it comes to, get some cards... Get a big set of cards and then try to make... the best deck out of those, then that's actually a pretty good thing. It's about the game is a puzzle in trying to construct a good deck. That is actually the fun part about Magic. But if you don't have the money to access the cards, if you don't have the money to access the cards, or if you go against people who have been doing, you called it net decking, which sure, if you go against people who are doing that, then it's clearly, I'm not going to be able to build as an efficient deck. I haven't been doing it as long. I don't have as much of a sample set to draw from. Mm-hmm. But, when everybody's starting from scratch, it at least feels good because it feels like everybody has an equivalent chance. Because then you start playing, you see who has, the prevailing deck, the prevailing thing. And I could have told you from the cards I was pulling and what other people said they were pulling that I'm not going to do too well. But you know what? You still do it, you follow it through, and,
Hear you came out number 2. Or did you say second to last?
Second to last.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you beat one guy.
I did. She only got 1 win. I got 2. Basically, I feel like you could have gone and, everybody makes decks, you do that part, then play 3 games. And once everybody's played 3 games, that is probably enough. You could probably, everybody could just agree, this one's probably going to win, this one's probably going to win, play through if you want, but we can probably pretty effectively guess what the outcomes are going to be, not accounting for Mana Screw and whatever. One of the 2 games I won was entirely because of Mana Screw, because the person that I beat was the person who went almost undefeated, And it was only because of Mana Screw that that happened. They just didn't get it. Or no, they got flooded because they had like 11 mana on the field and no creatures.
So
they were up against my Ox.
Excellent.
But yeah, so if you don't know about Magic and you want to try playing some,
do a draft.
Do a draft, because you know at $10 for the amount of cards you're getting, that at least feels like it's pretty good. You're going to get a full deck out of it plus a bunch of extra. You're going to have fun. I don't know if you're going to have fun playing, but if you're with friends, if you're with a very open group, and you know, you're going to have fun drawing cards, talking about it, talking about sets, doing whatever. There is much fun to be had in it, but it's more of a social aspect, and it's more of a of the deck building access. Deck building.
When you start playing, definitely only play with people who aren't good. Because if you start by playing people who have been playing for a long time, you get really frustrated really bad.
But that happens with a lot of things, but yes.
Yeah.
That's like they say, that's why sex is like tennis.
It's because of the rackets.
That's right. You gotta have a good racket, otherwise the mom's gonna kick your ass. I don't know, that's... A draft tournament is a good... A draft tournament lets you see what is good about Magic.
Yeah, it's a fun experience. Like I used to play tournaments back at SNJs and Wins, and, you know, yeah, whatever it was called at the time, and the drafts were always where I had the most fun.
Yeah, which and yet I'm really not sad that I didn't do that back in the day, because
yeah,
I still really don't care about playing, and I like to play games, not to spend money so that I can prepare for a game. Mm-hmm. You know what? Maybe that's the fun part, but at the same time, you don't know. You're not getting feedback about your deck until you play a game. And it's like, I wish there was a simpler way to get feedback than to actually have to play a whole game. Or to play a whole 5 games, or however many until you get a feel
or
for it.
Or to play a whole valid sample set.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
All right.
What else we got?
Well,
what do
you we're
going
to talk about Hat Fortress, but we're near the 1 hour mark here. I think we might be able to save it for a later day.
All right, so let's cut it here. Let's do some housekeeping. You want to handle housekeeping?
Yeah, sure. This is Ben and Lucas Studios Podcast. You can find us online.
At Lines.
Aliku-studios.net. Dash, right?
No dash.
Aliku-studios.net.
Oh my gosh.
You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OSPC or whatever, at OSPC.
/Aliku.
Wait, what?
/Aliku.
Sure. Dicking everything up. You can follow our personal accounts on the cast list. You can send us emails at podcast@alikustudios.net.
Yeah.
And that's about it?
Yeah, that's it.
Alrighty.
After so long, finally updating the podcast, I realize that page that I have built is so unwieldy.
Hella janky?
I really need... Well, yeah. Super. I really need to just go and build that database, and then it'll be nice. I'll just put buttons, but that's for another time.
Yay.
Thank you for joining us, and I'm going to eat this coffee.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a good night, everyone. Both as an artist and as a connoisseur of breastises.